Welcome to the weekly Lake Cabotogama Fishing and Recreation Report, brought to you on Lakes Country 104.1 all season long. Hosted by Jason Sheehan and Ed Gakely as they talk to different guests each week. Tune in to hear what's biting, how to catch them, and great stories from the lake. Sponsored by the Pines of Cabotogama. They can't wait to see you on the lake. So let's jump into it.
Good morning, Lake Cabotogama. And I have Jason Sheehan from the Pines of Cabotogama. And we are working with the Lake Cabotogama Fishing and Recreation Report. How's it going today, Jason?
I'm doing great, Ed. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. You know, we got a little bit of light rain, and it's pretty gray up here, but it's supposed to stop raining by around 9:30 and clear up, and I hear the heat's coming back a little bit. So looks like we're in for a decent weekend coming up.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Looking forward to that south wind starting to blow some of the smoke back north and clearing things up down here.
Yeah, we need that. I was just talking to you before the show. I was up in Red Lake on the weekend, which is 5.5 hours north, and float planes couldn't come in because they need 3 miles of visibility to fly. And on the Sunday, there was only 1 mile of visibility. And on Monday, 2 miles at around 9 a.m., and it finally cleared up around noon. But that fire up there is 196,000 hectares in size, and it's just being monitored. So hopefully that they got some rain up there last night, because that smoke has been the only complaint I've had all summer, because the fishing's been hot, but the smoke has been the issue that I've heard about.
Yeah, it comes and it goes. But yeah, the fishing has been hot. It's been, man, the theme of the year. I keep hearing it with each guide that I speak to, consistency. There hasn't been any, you know, real moments throughout the year that the lake shut down, the fishing shut down. It's been wonderful.
Yeah, and you know, that same with me. With all, you know, I'm reporting on 3 different lakes, and I have just heard awesome reports everywhere. Even the guys I picked up in Red Lake, now they're fishing 1.5 hours north, but as many walleyes as they could catch, they said, and big northerns, a couple muskies, but everyone's putting fish in the boat this year, which is great. Hey, I want to do a big shout out to our newest sponsor at the GNS Prop Shop and Marine Center. They have come on board, and we also have Kex Cove and Rocky Legend. Of course, Jason Sheehan from the Pines of Cabotogama as our presenting sponsor. We have room for a couple more if anyone else is interested. Jason is doing an amazing job with the show, and we're just so happy to be reporting on Lake Cabotogama. So thank you to all the sponsors. And what else is going on in Lake Cabotogama this week, Jason?
Oh, we've got a full house, lots of guides coming in and taking guests out fishing. I'm looking ahead to not this weekend, next weekend, on Sunday, August 17th. We've got Minnesota Bass Nation's going to have their tournament here. The weigh-ins at 3 o'clock at the Pines. We'll have the Cabotogama Fire Department, we'll volunteer fire department. We'll be cooking up burgers and dogs and pop and have chips for $10 during the weigh-in. It's going to be a great opportunity to see these professionals start pulling those big smallies out of the lake. Everybody's welcome to come down to the Pines and watch participate in the weigh-in. The property will be open to the public, and be exciting to have the place filled with these anglers and see what the biggest bag is.
That's right, because it's a Minnesota Trail event, so this is a really cool event where they travel around the state and hit different lakes, and you're hosting it, Lake Cabotogama. These guys are pretty cool. I love watching these pro anglers. You know, I'm calling on the final day of weigh-ins for 4 different tournaments this year in our region, and it's just an exciting day, and seeing the kids, you know, watching all the big fish, the lunkers, as they call them, being lifted out of those boats, and the different stripes and the beauty of the fish as well. And you know, it's always exciting to see who gets to that, close to that or over that 20-pound bag. And you guys are going to be right there. You get a front row seat if you head out to the Pines of Cabotogama.
Yeah, come on down, make plans. It's a couple weeks out, so we'll look forward to seeing everybody down here.
August 17th, be out there, one-day event?
Yep, one-day event. So the weigh-ins at 3 o'clock.
3 p.m. weigh-ins. And they will be, if you're out on the lake, they'll be running around a few days before that, pre-fishing, I would assume, so you can see some pretty cool boats and meet some of the guys that are out in the neighborhood. You know, they get out and they hit different establishments in the area as they're fishing these events. So you can get out there and talk to some anglers and see what's happening on the water and see what their season's like. Jason, tell me a little bit about your conversation that we're going to hear this week about with Sam Decker, and a little bit about Sam Decker as well.
Yeah, Sam is a dock boy at Arrowhead Lodge and Outfitters, and he's starting his guide business this year for the first time. It's a thrill to meet with Sam and talk to him, because being new and being so young, he has this infectious enthusiasm as he's talking about the lake, and is an open book, shares, you know, his experience and what the lake's doing right now. And you really get a sense for his passion and energy in the interview.
And it's funny that you say that, because I record Fisherman's Net right before this show with Dave and Wes Peterson, and Dave was in listening to me as I was listening to the initial part of the interview, and I'm like, man, this kid is so enthusiastic. Like, I love his energy, his voice, and you can just tell. And I said to Dave, you can tell this kid loves fishing. And you know, I mean, to me, that really adds a lot to it, because it's not a, and you don't see this a lot, but you get some guides that have been there a while doing it, and on lakes that I've been on, and you know, and it's the same thing every day, and they're out fishing, and they're great guides that get you on the water. But they can be a little quieter sometimes. And this kid's, that's not going to happen in his boat. You're going to find enthusiasm and conversation and just a great lighthearted energy for sure around Sam.
Yep, for sure.
Awesome. So the family are up and everything, are they enjoying their summer?
Yeah, family's having a wonderful time. This week, I'm up here solo at the resort. My oldest daughter has marching band camp this week. She's in high school, and the family will be rejoining me on Sunday. So I'm looking forward to them coming back up here.
That's nice. Yeah, that's a lot of work for you to be doing up there. And how's occupancy? You staying pretty full?
Oh, we are full.
Awesome.
We get calls, you know, on the regular for guests looking for availability. Unfortunately, we have to either find time for them later in the season or even get them scheduled for next year.
Well, that's a good problem to have, and it means that you're doing a good job up there. Hey, this is Ed Gately with Jason Sheehan from the Pines of Cabotogama. Jason will be speaking with Sam Decker today, and let's jump into it.
Let's jump into it, Ed.
You're invited to the Rocky Ledge on Lake Cabotogama. Great homemade meals for lunch and dinner. The Rocky Ledge is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. with bar hours open later. Indulge on amazing homemade pizzas, fresh burgers, apps, sandwiches, and more. Call 218-875-3481 to inquire about daily specials. The staff and management look forward to serving you all summer long at the Rocky Ledge, just minutes past the Giant Wall and beautiful Lake Cabotogama, the Rocky Ledge.
Kex Cove on beautiful Lake Cabotogama in Voyageurs National Park has everything you need for your Northwoods escape. Whether you're out for a scenic drive or staying a while, they've got cozy cabins and boats ready to launch your next adventure, just minutes from International Falls, and well worth the trip. And it's official, the Broster Chicken is genuine, hot, and fresh. Served Thursday through Sunday, 5 to 9. And don't miss their famous smoked brisket sandwiches. Kex Cove, everything you need and so much more. Kex Cove, Lake Cabotogama. Locally owned and operated, G&S Prop Shop Welding and Marine Repair specializes in prop and marine repair with expert precision and unmatched service. They take pride in high quality work and a commitment to getting it right the first time, because your time on the water matters. And they're Minnesota's only Charo Marine Propeller dealer. From welding to full marine repair, they do it all with care, quality, and attention to detail. G&S Prop Shop Welding and Marine Repair, Lake Cabotogama. Dependable repairs done right. Stop in or call today, and be sure to check them out on Facebook. This week's Cabotogama Lake Fishing Report is brought to you by the Pines of Cabotogama, your getaway to adventure in Voyageurs National Park. With 30 full hookup RV sites, including clifftop views 60 feet above the lake, you'll wake up to nature's best. Rent a Garmin-equipped boat or golf cart and hit the water from their private marina. Complete with electric hookups and fuel service, adventure begins at thepinescab.com.
Welcome to the Lake Cabotogama Fishing and Recreation Report, your weekly guide to what's biting and what's happening across one of Minnesota's most iconic lakes, nestled in Voyageurs National Park. I'm your host, Jason Sheehan. Each week, we check in with local guides, anglers, and community members to bring you the latest fishing conditions, helpful tips, and stories from around the lake. Whether you're here to plan your next trip or just love staying connected to the water, let's jump into it. Today, I'm sitting here at Arrowhead Lodge and Outfitters with Sam Decker, dock boy at Arrowhead Lodge, rising guide, and one of the most in-tune anglers on Cab. Sam, great to have you back.
Thank you, sir.
How's the lake treating you right now?
It's been pretty good overall. It's kind of it's been a little bit more consistent this time of year. This midsummer has been pretty consistent overall, fishing wise, I should say, and it's been pretty good overall.
Were there any slowdowns at all?
I would say occasionally you just kind of have like maybe a weather day or something that maybe screws up the bite a little bit. But overall, it's been very consistent, really the whole month of July and getting into August. It's been pretty good overall. I would say just kind of knowing knowing that there are a few different options depending on weather and such like that, it's been pretty consistent.
Any big runs, any times where it's like
I've had really good luck fishing the rock piles. That's been by far my kind of biggest thing this summer. Even getting into the later part of July and August here, we're still finding them pretty consistently on the rock piles, and it's made for some pretty good days right back to back where some spots are just really good, and you just hit that for a few days and then maybe it slows down. You go to another spot and do the same thing overall, but it's been pretty good.
I know you're a multi-species guy. Any standouts, walleye, smallies, northern?
Yeah, so actually the smallmouth have kind of slowed, I would say, mostly trip-wise. There's still plenty to be caught. Usually this time of year is when the smallmouth anglers aren't quite as out for them as it is kind of the walleye stay consistent through the year. And right now is actually the prime time, in my opinion, for the big pike. And just today, actually, we had a trip, and we had a 37-incher and two 41s. So it was a pretty solid day overall, and there's plenty of big northerns to be caught right now.
That's stellar. That's some happy guests.
Yep. Sure. Oh, it was it went pretty good overall. That's for sure.
That's great. You've been guiding, working the docks. Any different trends this summer versus other summers?
I would say that the biggest one for me is just kind of going back to talking about the walleyes. I'd say that it's been I've not usually fished all this deep as I have this year. And what I mean by that is, I fish a lot of rock piles, a lot of like main lake structures and stuff like that. And typically that's my go-to on the, during the mayfly hatch and maybe right after the mayfly hatch. But overall it's been pretty solid on those mid lake structures. Sometimes they're smaller than a picnic table, basically, of these rock piles that have been very good. And that's something that I'm not going to sit here and say it hasn't been like that in past years, but that's something that I've learned overall. Has been very, very beneficial this summer for the walleyes.
Are you seeing more big fish or more about numbers?
This has been easily my craziest year I've seen for the amount of slot walleyes that that have been caught, which is awesome because that's why the slot's there. It's to protect those spawning fish. And there's a reason that they set those slots. And a lot of times I'll have people I'm talking to and such where they're like, oh, it's a shame we got to throw these back. These would be a beautiful eater, stuff like that. Well, there's a reason that slot's in place. It's because it protects those fish that are going to be those future spawners and current spawners. And I think it's just good to see that I've caught many of those kind of 20 to 25-inch fish, occasionally peeking over, getting to 27, 26. And it's a fun fish to catch. You do got to throw it back, but it makes for a great picture and a good time as well.
Yeah, for sure. And what depths are you seeing the walleyes in?
It's been pretty consistent to about 20 feet. Occasionally it'll poke out a little deeper than that. It really just depends on the day. If you're getting out there right at, I don't know, let's say between 5 and 7 a.m. or hitting the earlier bite of the day, it may be a little shallower. Maybe you'll be not finding them in 15 feet on those rock piles. And then as you get more into those midday times, they may creep out to 25 feet. I hardly have touched 30 this year on cab. It's been a little bit shallower than that, but kind of just that mid-20s. But overall, just kind of as an average depth around that 20-foot area has been pretty solid and pretty consistent.
Has water temp played into that?
I would say the water has definitely warmed a little bit, and sometimes it'll make the fish a little bit more lethargic. I wouldn't, as far as I've noticed, I wouldn't say that makes a huge difference with where the walleyes are located, in terms of a couple degree difference and stuff like that. But I would say that the biggest thing that I've noticed is when you have these warming waters, especially if you have a dead calm sunny day, not really the textbook ideal walleye conditions. I think the biggest thing is they're slowing it down. Whether you like to Lindy rig or jig or anything like that, just kind of slowing down your pace. Let's say you're Lindy rigging and dragging rigs really slow. Sometimes even just throwing the boat in park and just kind of almost vertical jigging it and slowly working those rigs can be very beneficial this time of year, because occasionally those walleyes are just a little lazy perhaps, and just kind of keeping a slow tempo can be very beneficial.
Yeah, we've had the last couple of days have been super calm days.
Yep, exactly, right? Exactly.
Yeah. You seeing anything bug hatch or bait fish affecting the bite?
Nothing that I've really noticed in great context. I will say I've started to use minnows a little bit more lately as we kind of approach fall. I mean, that's not really tomorrow by any means, but it's coming up here where we're going to start getting back to the jigs and minnows and stuff like that. And eventually we'll start kind of getting to those, pushing those island points, maybe fishing a little deeper, even shallower, as we're kind of fishing like the average, the kind of middle depth right now. But I'd say the biggest thing is right now I have not noticed much, but I imagine as the fall kind of approaches here, we will soon.
Well, that's a good segue. So let's talk bait. I mean, are you still, you're running leeches, worms?
Yeah, for the minnows, or sorry, oh my goodness. For the walleyes, I've been primarily leeches. Occasionally I'll do crawlers, especially if I'm doing ever some spinners in shallow or even just pitching jigs in shallow. And what I mean by that is that's kind of a shallow rig for me. Occasionally when you get these cloudy and maybe overcast or even windy days, you may want to push shallow to some weed lines, even just some shallow kind of rocky shorelines that have a gradual drop off. Sometimes those can be beneficial on those weather days where it is a little more cloudy, a little bit more, as they say, kind of ideal for the walleyes. And so then I'll kind of use crawlers. Just typically for me, I just associate crawlers with shallower water because it's closer to land, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's really no science to that. That's just how I've always done that. Mm-hmm. And then for me, whenever I get past 15 feet, it's always leeches. I always use leeches on the Lindy rigs, slip bobbers, even vertical jigging out deep.
We got coming up here on August 17th, we've got the bass tournament coming here.
Yep.
And so I want to ask a little bit about working the bass.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you said it's kind of hasn't been a primary target this time of year, but what are you thinking? Topwater taking a bite?
I would say from what smallmouth fishing I have been doing right now, I would say it's mostly shallow, and I love topwater just because it's fun. I mean, especially bringing clients and stuff, watching the shallow fish are almost always aggressive, especially if you get, let's say, a few more ideal conditions like the clouds or early morning, for example. The shallow topwater is one of my favorite things to do. You can usually count on consistency with things like Ned rigs, drop shots, and even just kind of small swim baits and crank baits and stuff like that. But it's kind of, with me, I kind of play the depth. Occasionally I will fish some deeper reefs for smallmouth.
Mm-hmm.
For that, it's kind of go to a reef, try it for a little while. If you've got live imaging or even just 2D sonar to drop down and see if those fish are out there. A lot of times you're going to see walleyes and perch out there, but there is a good amount of smallmouth out on those reefs. And for that, obviously you need some deeper diving lures. A lot of times I really like to use drop shots for that, but occasionally Ned rigs will work. Just kind of making sure you're in that strike zone, which for the smallmouth is right on the bottom, like the walleyes, is kind of the biggest thing with that. But shallow water, you can usually count on consistency fishing with those Ned rigs and stuff like that. But top water is without a doubt my favorite for them.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And for pike, where are the big ones lurking?
I've been fishing pretty primarily in the thick weed beds, and that can get annoying, but that's by far where most of the fish are. A lot of times when you get into the thicker weeds and the bays and stuff like that, if you just push out to the weed line and fish along it, that can be your best bet. You don't want to be obviously wasting your time just pulling in salads of seaweed, but that's honestly where the big ones like to hang out. So if you can find a way, whether you like to throw top water or just kind of shallow diving lures, that can be a very beneficial way to do that if you're able to manage with those weeds. But otherwise, if you can't, just go out to the weed line and you should have the same results.
Okay. Somebody's coming up to cab this weekend. What general areas do you recommend them to focus on for structure?
Yeah. So if we're talking walleyes, I would say that there's really no area that I'd say is or isn't a great place. When I say is a great place, I mean like no specific spot where I'm like, this is where you got to be. But I would say kind of towards the center, if you put the lake in three thirds, and I would say the middle third, kind of the middle of the lake is where you're going to find most of those deeper lakes, deeper reefs and rock points and structure and stuff like that. And that's what you kind of want to focus on in terms of the walleyes.
Mm-hmm.
For the smallmouth, I always like to go to the northern shoreline of the lake, kind of along the whole, undeveloped part of the shoreline
the
of
peninsula.
Cab. Yeah. Yeah. That's where I like to fish for the smallmouth because a lot of that is kind of the shale rock. This is the small rock, rocky shorelines with the more gradual drop-offs, even some sand with boulders on it. That's where you can a lot of times find the smallmouth, especially a lot of times if you can find a boulder with some sand.
Mm.
That can be a really good area to kind of pinpoint some bigger ones for sure. And then with the pike, I would just kind of look for weed lines. A lot of times the southern area or the southern shoreline of the lake when you're talking bays like mud, and like Duck Bay and Nebraska and stuff like that. Those are great areas with good defined weed lines and a good place to just kind of cover ground. And with those, you kind of just want to throw casts until your arms fall off and you're bound to find something.
When you're out there, how much does boat traffic affect you?
I would say the biggest thing, as a guide, I like to get away from the people, as much as I can, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say it depends on where you are. If you're trying to fish a channel, that can be a little bit struggle wise, and that's why you kind of got to be mindful, especially when you have boats that you know are going to travel through there. You want to make sure you're not in their way, because after all, it should be their right of way. You're kind of fishing where they need to pass through. So that's kind of the biggest thing I would say, is if there's definitely ways to tuck away from it. So I wouldn't say it's a huge problem in most cases, but there definitely is some areas that maybe there's a current seam or like a or an island point or something you want to fish, but there's like a channel marker right next to it telling you you want to go like right through there. That's where you kind of got to be mindful of the fact that there are going to be boats traveling through and stuff like that. But a lot of times you can find ways to get away from the major boat traffic.
So you see, I see these, like, I'll call them community spots.
You got
like four or five boats all stacked up. You're avoiding that.
I try to. I mean, occasionally, I mean, there's a reason that there's people there. It's because there's fish there.
Yeah.
So occasionally I'll fish them. I'm not going to say I don't, but it's like, if you can, you want to get away from that. I mean, part of the coolest thing of cab is that it's gorgeous. And when you're sitting there looking at 13 other people, it's not as fun. So if you get away from all the people and kind of get to maybe either the northern or the eastern parts of the lake where there's less people traveling through, that can be sometimes a good way to kind of escape that.
All right. Looking ahead here, the next couple of weeks, what should we expect?
I would say that kind of like I mentioned before, I think that the kind of deeper island point and like minnows and jigs is going to turn on a little bit more. Something I do quite a bit is pulling spinners in shallow as well. And that's kind of one of those things where you use the night crawlers and just go along weed lines, along those rocky shorelines. That's kind of a consistent way to catch walleyes, because you cover a lot of ground and just kind of find the active fish in a large portion of ground, versus if you're using a Lindy rig, you might be moving barely at all. With the spinners, you might move a mile an hour and cover quite a bit of land or quite a bit of water in not that much time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I would say for consistency. But a lot of times with the minnows and jigs and stuff, when you push out to these deeper island points, just trust your electronics, even if it is just 2D or anything like that. Just watching that, looking for those arcs. And if you need to move to the next spot, don't waste your time. Basically, if you're not seeing more than a few fish on a spot, at least that's how I always do it. If you're dropping jigs on them and it's not going, maybe drop a slip arbor and a leech or a Lindy rig and a leech and just kind of try different things. So that's kind of a thing I'd be advocating for. As when it gets to the fall, I use almost primarily minnows, but obviously it's August, so it's not the fall yet. I would say kind of having multiple different types of bait in your boat is a good thing.
So thinking about head to the fall, do you expect any big shifts right before we head into September here?
I wouldn't say anything crazy. I'd say as the water cools, I love the fall. I find that a lot of times the fish will get a lot more active in the fall. As I kind of mentioned before, sometimes with this kind of warmer weather, it can have some lethargic effects on the fish. It seems like they get a little bit less bitey. You might be marking fish and they're not biting quite as much, but that's why I said with the slowing down and stuff like that. Something I really like to do in the fall is jig with jigging wraps and just find those aggressive fish and the bigger ones.
Yeah.
You might not always catch 1,000 fish because you're kind of weeding out the non-aggressive ones, but you find those few aggressive ones and a lot of times they're more sizable. That can be a lot of fun. That's one of my favorite ways to fish in the fall. But overall, I would say as we get for closer to the fall, or I should say, once we get into September and stuff like that, I usually find that the fish get a lot more aggressive, especially on the jig and minnow. So that's usually what I'm doing in the fall.
Yeah, I look forward to that. Before we wrap, you've been on the water just about every day and you shared your experience with your big northerns here today. Any memorable fish or fish stories? Any funny stories? Anything with clients this year?
Oh, I can think of two different stories where basically the same thing happened where, I've taken husbands and wives. It's happened two different times. And again, it was like, they were like the exact same trip two different times, which was kind of funny. And it's funny because just whenever you get a husband and wife in the boat, half the time it comes to trash talking each other the whole time.
Okay.
And I just remember we were fishing and there was a few times that it did not go as maybe one person in the boat thought or something like that. It was always like, you talk a lot of trash. A lot of times you're the one that does not catch as many as the other people. And it's a lot of wives out fishing husbands this year, which has been a lot of fun to see and everything like that. But it's overall, I can think of 1,000 different stories of just from this year that I could tell.
Well, that's great. Yeah. Sam, it's always a blast having you on. For folks who want to book a trip with you and get out on cab, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Yeah, so I mean, honestly, the best way to reach me is just my phone number. And I can drop that here. It's just 952-290-3866. Otherwise, you can send me an email at samrdecker82@outlook.com. And otherwise than that, I also am on Facebook pretty heavily, so you can just reach me at Sam Decker Guide Services on that, and that's kind of the best way to book with me there.
Excellent. Well, thanks for joining us, Sam. We'll catch you out on the water soon.
Sounds good.
Tight lines, everyone, and be well. Thanks, Sam.
That's your weekly Lake Cabotogama Fishing and Recreation Report, brought to you each week right here on Lakes Country 104.1 with the Pines of Cabotogama with Jason Sheehan and Ed Gakely. We look forward to seeing you on the water.